Hello, and welcome to another episode of Somewhat Accurate History, a podcast where we vaguely remember the history of various countries. Apparently, Wales is not a country. Hey everybody, we're back. This one took a little while, not because it was like super hard to do or anything, but because first week we were being lazy. Second week, God himself came down and smited Dad, and so he couldn't have power for about like a week. Third week, here we are.
Yeah, okay. First week, you say we're lazy. I had several school exams I had to do. Let me just say this to anyone who wants to go to school. Don't take a super intensive class like anatomy and physiology as a summer class where they condense 16 weeks of work into 8 weeks. I'm just going to say it right now. It's kind of cringe.
Sounded pretty lazy to me, Lazy Bones. But you don't put your carts away, Mr. Lazy Bones. Okay, before we start this episode, I gotta get a little anger out of me. Why, I overheard someone throw some trash on the fucking, like, little islands or whatever in the parking lot and said, hey, it's okay, it's their job to pick that up. I just fucking... Oh! That's like the equivalent of...
Alex, didn't you straight up call someone a cunt at work?
Yes.
And you got away with it?
Yeah.
When is your luck gonna run out?
I didn't say anything to these people because they're too far away. I just overheard it while I was doing something else. That's the equivalent of throwing trash in front of a janitor instead of in the fucking garbage can. Anyway, moving on.
Speaking of a bunch of trash circling a garbage can, hey Alex, can you tell me about the warring states of Japan?
Well, I wanted to open up this up with, we're taking a small, tiny little break from Russian history because we went to the Patreon and actually used it for something and had people vote in for what they wanted to do an episode on. And Ted spoiled it! Also, the title spoiled it, fuck you. The Warring States. You're all weeaboos and voted for Japan. So, I only knew some really basic shit about Japan, aka the Bill Wards video, whatever the fuck fate tells me. Because I don't get surprising information, because there's evidence stacked against me. I'm not actually that much of a weeaboo. I don't actually know that much about Japan. I didn't really care. So, I went into reading all this shit about it. And I gotta say, I noticed something, Tad. What? Everything, every single, like, figure, every video game character, every anime character, every, like, scene from an anime comes from this, like, 100-year period of time. All of it. This is the happening year for Japan, or happening era for Japan. This is what defines them. Because, holy shit, it legitimately is all from this.
Now, the only thing I know about the Warring States is that apparently there was states and they were fighting. And that there was a Pokemon game in which they all had, like, Pokemon and they fought in Japan, right?
Yes, actually. So, let's get right into it. You might have heard a tiny gist of it from the Bill Wirtz video, but we're going to go a little more in depth with this shit. Alright, so, hundreds of years ago, you have this little place called Japan, this little island nation. Before it was the anime country, it was basically just filled with a bunch of warriors and shit who loved themselves. Now, there was an emperor, but he had no power. Basically, everyone knew who he was. He lives in a nice little palace and shit, but he never actually, like, voted or did anything. He just kind of sat there and drank tea all day. The actual person in power was the shogun, who ruled the shogunate, which was basically just all of the samurai under one big banner, under this guy's banner.
So he was, like, the general. He was the owner of the armies and shit.
Yeah, thus he had all the power. So, they were called Asakura? Listen, Ted, I can't pronounce Japanese words. This is gonna be a clusterfuck of an episode. Basically, the shogunate was having a real nice time ruling over...
Are you saying the shogunate? Like the shogun senate or the shogunate?
The shogunate, sorry. Listen, Ted, I can't pronounce shit, alright? I'm an American.
All you said was shogunate again. I don't know which one you're trying to say.
The group. The group of fucking dudes, the power men, are ruling over Japan.
The shogun senate.
Yeah, they're ruling over Japan all well and good. The shoguns are basically, the shogun rules like a feudal lord. He's the lord, then the daimyo are the little lords, and then everyone else is at the fucking bottom. The samurai are basically the knights. Feudalism all had different names, but it's all basically the same shit. Like, Russia had the boyars, they're just lords. This has the daimyo, they're just lords. It's how it works. They all have their section of land, their own little armies, and they all listen to the shogun, right? That's how they all together. So, it'd be a real dick move if a couple of clans just decided to have a war right now and cause a bunch of trouble. So this is called the Onin War. Now, this war isn't that important on its own, but it snowball affects everything going to hell, because when these two guys start butting heads and start vying for power, the other guys are like, I bet I could vie for power right about now. And more people get roped into it. But then the shogun pulls a real dick move. He dies without an heir. So now there's nobody else on that throne. So now those guys who are, they're all fighting. They stop for a second. They look at the throne. Look left, look right, and they fucking run for it. So
what you're saying, Alex, is they started doing, let's keep this topical. They started doing the Fall Guys. I've never played Fall Guy. I assume there's like a pyramid, like a pyramid of plunder or something where you jump up and you try and like grab people. I don't know what Fall Guys is, Alex.
Anyway, so I had to pause and process what Ted was saying. So
they're all fighting over each other to fill in this power gap, Alex.
I was going to do a better reference, and I'll get to it in about 5 seconds. Just sit there, Ted. Sit there with your little
dunce cap. Well, you should have been louder.
Okay, so they all go to the throne. They're like, okay, who the fuck should rule now? And one guy's like, obviously it should be me. We were the clan that was closest to his, like, you know, his right-hand men. Like, well, hold it there, fuck boy. We should be the fucking new guys in power. Hold it right there, both of you. We should be in power. And then the fourth guy isn't even there. The fourth guy just immediately runs out of the palace, gets a big marker, and carves up a big section of territory. And the other guys are like, oh shit, that's right! So they all scatter to the fucking winds and start carving up the country in their own little squares. So, I talked about the fucking power struggle that China had in our old Chinese episode, right? You know how there was like 9 guys all beating the shit out of each other and treating their peasants like shit because they're just fighting?
Because they're warlording.
Yes. So, the times of troubles in Russia had about 6 of these lords all fighting for shit. China had about 9. Japan had 100.
Well, okay, now hold on a second. You said China is a lot fucking...
Oh,
what,
yeah.
They fighting over fucking, like, fucking cow fields and shit? I don't know. Do they have cows in Japan, Alex? I don't know. I don't know anything about Japan.
They're
fighting over the rice fields. I think they got rice fields.
They had lots of rice fields. I know they had horses. I'm pretty sure they might have had cows. I don't actually know what animals were living in Japan in the 1500s. That's actually a really good question. Anyway. So, yeah. There are a lot of small, like, they'd be fighting over, like, 5 inches of land and beating the shit out of each other. Because Japan's, like you said, a lot smaller. It was compact. I actually sent you a picture a long time ago. 2 of them, which I hope you have still open for your references, fuckboy. Where, it shows the map just scattered. But there's a lot less than 100. Because what happens is that, much like the movie Battle Royale, most of those 100 people get killed off really quickly. You ever play Fortnite, Ted?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
A bunch of people drop into Tilted Towers, hashtag rip Tilted Towers, and they'll just immediately die. So by 5 minutes, there's only about 20 left. That's pretty much what happened here. Also, fun fact, another thing I learned about while doing all this research, I realized the movie Battle Royale, which is a Japanese movie, is based on this entire premise. So Fortnite is based on Sengoku area of Japan. There you go. There's a little fun fact for you.
Yeah, I picked up on that, and that's why I made you guys watch Battle Royale, and then you guys threw a hissy fit because you thought it was a horror movie and you didn't want to watch it because you're a bunch of little fucking babies.
Hey, I watched it, and I made Fortnite jokes, too. Anyway. So, the country is completely shattered like fucking glass, and everyone's beating the shit out of each other. Now, again, most of those 100 guys, like 70 of those guys just immediately get fucking washed over by the guys around it, and you get fractured about the 20 guys that we all have now. So, here's the thing about this period of time. It is 100 years, and each clan basically has their own story. So what I did is I specifically went to each guy and found the most interesting. AKA, I went to Oda Nobunaga, because let's be real, he's the most interesting guy. There's no way I can cover 100 years of each individual character. Because let me tell you, Ted, every single, like, big-name Japanese guy is pretty much from this period of time. So I'm actually going to do more episodes on it. Just because you guys voted for it, and also because a lot of them are really cool, but we're going to kind of focus on one guy's story for this, and we're going to get to the other guys later, so don't get too pissy, all right? So, let's finally, that's just setting the fucking stage. Let's get actually into the characters. So, during the war, there's a little into it, a little into this massive civil war, aka this massive power struggle known as the Sengoku Jidai. We're going to go to the Owari province, right here on the map if you still have it open. So here in the Owari province, this is where the Oda clan lives. The Oda clan is big, red, powerful, really tough guys. People are kind of like wary of these guys. You ever see that picture of like the dog snarling, the other one looking at it like all kind of scared? That's pretty much everyone around this fucking clan right now. So before we talk about Oda Nobunaga himself, we gotta talk about a young boy named Kiposhi. Now, Kiposhi was born to the Oda leader at the time, which is like Oda Hide. Kiposhi is a little bit of a weirdo. As one random Oda boomer said, would rather spend his days dressing up like a girl and doing fucking plays and playing with frogs than actually fight to be a warrior and be a man. I don't know what he meant by that. But all right. So Kiposhi's a little weirdo. In fact, he gets a nickname. I'm not even going to try to fucking pronounce that. They call him the Great Fool of Owari. So he's a little freak. Nobody likes him. But he's just going to be on the sidelines for now. Because what happens is there's these assholes called the Matsudaira who have the audacity to want to defend themselves to the Oda. The Oda can't have that. So the Oda start pressuring the shit out of them under Hide's orders. So the Matsudaira get a plan. They go to their neighbors up here on the map, the Imigawa.
Okay.
Matsudaira are like, hey guys.
By the way, hold on. I did find those two images you linked me, and one of them is like the colors of all the samurai, and it has a giant 9GAG logo on it.
I mean, I just had to Google images really quickly about what I could show you for what the samurai look like, Dad. What their icons, all their clan icons. That's pretty much what all that picture was for. Anyway, fuck you. Listen. So the Matsudaira go to the Imigawa and say, hey, let's form like a bromigo like pact right now. If the Oda fuck with either of us, we'll help the other out. And then the Imigawa are like, okay, sure. But you gotta give us your only son as a hostage to make sure you don't pull any fast ones on us. And the Matsudaira are like, I don't know about that one. Look over to the right, see the Oda just like sharpening their fucking katanas. They're like, okay, sure, you can have him. So they're delivering the boy, the young boy, over to him. But the Oda clan has a secret weapon. They have a bunch of ninjas. So the ninjas tell the Oda clan, hey, they're totally trying to plan against you. The Oda clan says, fuck that, jump them, beat the shit out of all the guards, and kidnap the boy themselves and bring him back. And they tell the Matsudaira, break off that stupid alliance of yours right fucking now, or we'll kill your only son. And the Matsudaira clan leader, Mr. Matsudaira himself, he says, do it, bitch. If you do it, you're only proving just how loyal and dedicated I am to this cause.
Ancient Japanese proverb, pussy won't.
So the other clans are like right there with the sword to his throat and they say, damn it, fuck, he's right. They throw the sword down. Well, now what do we fucking do? Like, well, we can't give him back because then he'll win. And we can't kill him because he'll win more. And then where are the bad guys all of a sudden? Dude, this is bullshit. They look at the kid, I don't know, throw him in a temple or something. Maybe he'll be useful later. So they shove that young boy into a temple for about 15 years. We'll come back to him. He'll be an important figure later. So, anyway, this made them look like the bad guys anyway. So the Matsudaira and Imigawa fucking, fist bump, knuckle to the knuckle. It's like, all right, let's go fuck up the Oda now. And they start fucking up the Oda really hard. Like, really hard. They're just losing left and fucking right. And during this, Mr. Nobu himself, I'm sorry, not Nobu, Oda. Oda Hide, Mr. Hide himself. They all start with Nobu, fun fact. It's a naming convention. I'll get to it in a minute. Hide dies. But he luckily has an heir. He's got young Kiposhi here. But Kiposhi's a weirdo. Remember, we talked about how no one really liked
him.
He's
the frog guy.
Yeah, he's the weird little fucking femboy, apparently. According to the Oda Boomer, anyway. So, during the funeral, he was doing some really weird shit. He was being really overly dramatic. He was like throwing these fucking incense things everywhere. He was basically making a big fool of himself. And, ancient fucking politics. everyone thought he was kind of weird and not fit to lead anymore. So they form up and they're like, okay, I know he's the heir and all, but can we, like, not... Can we just not do this right now? Can we, like, get his, like, younger brother or something? And a couple of guys are like, well, hang on a minute. You know, blood is still blood. He is still the firstborn. It should still be him. Then the anti-scub league forms. I'm like, fuck that. We're not doing that. Fuck this guy. So the pro-scub and the anti-scub start beating the shit out of each other really fast. And they go to a third party. This surprisingly unnamed mentor figure, who is, according to the fucking thing I read, everyone respects him. He's the sword training master guy. Like, hey, sword master, Mr. like Oda sword master, what do we do about the situation? And he goes, Kiposhi, come closer. He puts his hand on his shoulder. Kiposhi, you need to grow the fuck up. Backs up, takes out his sword, kills himself right there, and fucking bleeds everywhere and dies.
Listen, I got some advice, buddy. Blam.
So
he's auto-balanced.
So everyone freaked the fuck out, because, you know, he just spectacularly bled everywhere and died.
I'm
going to
say
everybody.
Right now, Alex, I think the Odas are definitely going to live through this.
So
I don't think they're going to get wiped out fucking immediately unless they're Japan's Russia and it's Oda Nobunaga or something comes out of this.
OK,
I fucking hope not. I'm tired of him, Alex.
So here's
if you even mention him once.
So here's where Kiposhi changes after that moment. I'm sure this is a little romanticized, because fun fact, this is like the most romanticized portion of history I think I've ever read. Like, I'm 90% sure most of what I've read is bullshit. But anyway, after that incredibly dramatic scene,
Kiposhi... What actually happened when the guy killed himself was he tripped on one of his fucking frogs and fell on his sword and stabbed himself in the dick.
Oh, sorry, I did write his name down, thank God. His name was Masahide. His name was Hide to honor Nobuhide. So the naming convention is you share each other's names, like part of them. So he's Hide because he works for the other Hide, get it? So,
yeah, I get you.
So Masahide is the guy who killed himself. So Kiposhi, in that moment, like, turns around and says, all right, guys, I got this now. Just, like, right there, just immediately matured up and stopped being, like, a weird fuckboy. Just, like, became a fuck man. But
definitely.
There was, yeah, again, I'm sure this wasn't romanticized whatsoever. So there's still a problem, though. See, the anti-scub league still formed and are now following Nobuyoki, or, as you might know him as, Nobukatsu. If any of you have played Fate, this is where that asshole comes from. So, Kiposhi forms up the Pro Scub League and goes to fight at Nobuyoki's castle and fucks him up so hard that the battle itself is a footnote. All it is he goes to the castle to beat up his rebellious brother, kills him himself, and then goes back to reform the clan. That's all it says. That is how washed Kakatsu got right here. So anyway, now that he did that, he reformed the clan up, told everyone to call him a new name, Nobunaga, and now he is the head of the Oda clan. And that's where he gets his name. Yeah, yeah. So, we still have a problem, though. There's still those other two clans fucking with everything. Like, during this whole little mini-civil war that they had between their own clan, those two guys, the Imigawa and the Matsudaira, are still just pushing right through. So, like, even though Nobu became the clan leader now, he's, like, surrounded and fucked. In fact, he's in his little castle, and the other clan dudes are just like, look, dude, we're kind of fucked right now. I think we should just kind of give up. But Nobunaga, again, that whole Hide killing himself thing manned him the fuck up. And he decides to tell them to go fuck themselves. You see, he says, you can all sit here and die. Or you can all come with me and die in honor. Or you can all sit here and just watch me win. So he gets a plan.
Wait, hold on a second. So it's like, you guys could just sit here and be fine, then I'm going to win it on my own, or you could come with me and get killed?
Listen, Tad, remember, his man-up moment was a guy killing himself in front of him. I don't think Oda's really thinking too smart right
here. His man-up moment was a guy slipping on a banana peel and making a Rube Goldberg machine go off in the palace to drop a brick on his head.
So...
he trips and falls, and he Wile E. Coyote runs on the air until he falls down, and then does the fucking Goofy scream.
And he dies. But he's like, well, guess I'm a man now. Call me Nobunaga.
Just turns around. He's got the fucking Shad guy, the black and white one with the huge jaw. So, please, call me Nobunaga.
So he forms up a small group of guys and starts pushing forward and just grabbing every peasant he can. It's about 2,500 guys. Now, that's not bad. So the Ibikawa have 20,000 guys, so he's basically fucked anyway. Or is he? You see, Tad, have you ever heard of the old story of the tortoise and the hare?
You know, is he just gonna send in one guy at a time, or is he gonna like 300 like valley pass him?
He's gonna do something better. You see, the Imigawa,
he invents a gun.
He's got a gun. I mean, there were guns. They had arco blasts back then. Fun fact, the samurai did have guns. So they're just old shitty ones. But the Imigawa and the Matsudaira both take up their little camps and are just so happy that they're just winning so easily, they just start partying and shit. So the Matsudaira are fucked off over here on this hill, but the Imigawa are positioned on this deep gorge. And Nobunaga, remember when we used to say he used to play with frogs and stuff? He used to play with frogs by this river at this gorge. He knows this gorge inside and out. He knows this gorge like the back of his fucking hand. He basically lived in this fucking gorge. He knows every goddamn speck of dirt. And again, I'm pretty sure this was not romanticized whatsoever, guys. But he knew this place. And he was like, I got an idea. So, he takes his 2,500 goons and splits them up. Puts 500 guys on top of the gorge on this big hill with this little fort. And he tells them to make a bunch of basically scarecrows and shit and put armor and banners on them to make it look like his entire army is ready to fight on that one position. So you could see them from like where the camp is. I'm trying to paint this picture for you. Like, here's the big hill. Here's the camp down here. You could see all the banners and dudes standing up there. But, like, it's because the sun's, like, shadowed. You can just barely see the figures, right? So
if you entered this, you would be at the bottom, and you'd be looking up at the top of this ridge that has all these dudes on it.
Yeah, so you'd assume...
all these scarecrows.
Yeah, you'd assume, because you always see is the shadow, so they basically look like regular people. You're like, oh, hey, that's all the army. We'll fight them tomorrow, guys. Yeah! And they're all high-fiving, you know, hitting their beer mugs together. Their little sake cups together, and they're getting drunk and shit. So then, he takes his other 2,000 guys and says, all right, guys, follow me. There's this little cave in the river that goes all the way through, like, this big mountain right into the campsite. He knows it's right fucking there. He gets very lucky. But then, luck it fucking just comes down. Like, the gods themselves give him a big thumbs up and a wink. It starts to rain really fucking hard. Like, super hard. Like, it's super fucking dark. It's fucking storming like crazy. Like, oh, shit, you can't see shit. You can't see shit, Tad. So, they're sneaking through the fucking cave, right into the back of the camp, and most of the guards went inside their tents because it was raining so hard. So there's like 5 dudes out there, like, keeping watch, and they can't see shit. So the Odas just come up behind them and just start fucking backstabbing them, and just start fucking ninja assassinating everybody through the camp, and then a couple guys notice and start screaming for help, but it's too late at this point. Half of the guys are already fucking dead. So they start scrambling, they make a big bunch of riffraff. The leader, the Imigawa clan leader himself, is in his big tent, tells everyone to shut up, he's trying to watch his goddamn play, when an Oda guy kicks open, I guess he can't really kick open, but like opens the fucking tent with a sword and says, surprise, bitch, takes the sword and tries to hit him, but the Imigawa clan leader, surprised like anime style, whips out his sword and cuts the other guy's spear in half, and then another Oda guy just comes by and cuts his head off anyway.
Definitely not romanticized. Yeah, that he did the fucking anime spear cut.
Yeah, totally not romanticized whatsoever, guys. But anyway,
spears are disrespectful Western weapons.
So the Imigawa clan leader is dead. They grab his head, run out to the tent, and start screaming that they killed him. And the 20, well, I guess in this case, like, more like, you know, 19,000 guys still remaining, just fucking run. They just run without a leader. They just scatter the fucking winds and just bail. And the Oda clan was like, wait, shit, we actually won? Oh, shit, hell yeah! They start high-fiving each other. So, now that they all ran away, the Imigawa basically lost all power, because that was it. That was everything. They literally put all of their eggs into that basket, and the clan leader died that quickly. They got fucked. So they run back and just kind of hold up back in their land, and notice in that picture I sent you, do you see the Imigawa in there?
Yeah, it's like this little... I'm actually going to have this image up on the video when it's on YouTube for people to watch, and I'm going to have it in the description, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like this little tiny thing. I don't see the... I see the Imigawa, and then what was the name of the other one again?
The Matsudaira. There's a reason you don't see the Matsudaira. You'll see it in like 5 seconds. Okay. You'll see.
Okay.
So the Imigawa just, over time, everyone just encroaches and just kind of wipes them out. They just get swallowed up after this moment.
Okay.
That's by the Tokugawa,
the Takeda, and the Hojos.
Yeah, yeah. They all just. Now,
isn't Hojo like, wasn't that like a slur that Americans would use for Japanese soldiers? No, I'm thinking Tojos, because yes. the guy that was the prime minister or whatever.
Yeah.
He wasn't an emperor anymore. He was a prime minister. I don't. Anyway, yeah.
So they're all gone. The Matsudaira leader, he looks at this and he's like, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm just going to bail too. Fuck this. And he just leaves too.
He just left the server.
Yeah, he saw his teammates just get, like, he did the push on fucking, a dust ball, saw everyone just explode to one crit rocket and just left the server. So. After this moment, the Matsudaira leader started thinking, you know, maybe this Nobunaga guy, maybe he's not so bad. Maybe he's a smart guy and I should give him an extra look. So
he likes frogs after all.
Yeah. So here's a little side story about this Matsudaira guy. This isn't the old Matsudaira leader. You see, what happened is that old Matsudaira leader actually died. This Matsudaira leader is that boy that was raised by that was kidnapped by the Oda Nobunaga, then re-kidnapped by the Imigawa, told a bunch of Imigawa propaganda through his whole life, then returned back to the Matsudaira, and then when he saw the Imigawa leaders die, that he was told that were like the greatest clan ever, he started thinking, maybe that was all bullshit. So he requests, after invading his country, sends a letter to Nobunaga, says, I want to meet you and talk about some stuff. And Oda agrees. They meet, and they become kind of bromigos right then and there. And they agree to help each other out. See, Matsudaira's got a big, nice, thick army. And Oda Nobunaga's got a nice, big, thick brain. So they agree that they're going to unite on these two allies, two separate clans. And during this, the Matsudaira changed their name to the Tokugawa.
Okay.
And that man changes his first name to Ieyasu.
Now, okay, that means nothing to me, but okay.
Tokugawa Ieyasu is a really big figure in this history. That the weebs will know who this guy is. So, this is a very, very important thing. Because Ieyasu, despite most things that happened in this era, was actually a very good ally. Despite that, basically that anime thing of becoming enemies and then becoming friends, he is just like, you know, total like fucking that weird like handshake, bump and fist. He loves fucking Oda now. And they're going to work together to just fuck everything up. So again, once again, look at the map. You see where how they're both next door to each other?
Yeah, Oda and Tokugawa.
Yeah, this is super important because during this period of time, everyone wanted to get to Kyoto. See Kyoto up there? That's the capital at the time. So even though there's, you know, not technically a shogun, if you rule Kyoto, you rule Japan in air quotes, even if no one listens to you. Basically, it's a big political fucking, like, big penis to have, right? It's a big political codpiece to wear. So everyone wants to, you know, take everyone over and slowly encircle onto that place. So Nobu and Ieyasu have each other's backs. Whenever someone moves to a different location to fight, like see this clan here, when they go to fight, that means their back is now exposed and the clan right next door can just swoosh in and eat them up. So everyone wants to fight each other, but also is like, you know, looking left and right, making sure no one fights them first. So now that Tokugawa's got his back, literally has his back, Oda can move over to the left, to the right, up, down. He can go anywhere, and he can't immediately be taken over. And this is why he starts to do what he does.
So did none of these other clans think like, hey, maybe I should like team up? Or maybe they did, and then they just got, you know, betrayed and shit.
Well, remember, there were two clans that were just teaming up. Oda just put a stop to it. Oda just won.
Yeah, that's true.
But for the most part, yes, actually, though. 100%, legitimately. Like, out of the 100 clans, you know, narrowing down to the 20, these two instances are the first times anyone actually teamed up. Everyone was, because, okay, think of it this way. Say you're the fucking, the Ezai over here. You see the fucking Maitsu over here. You're like, hey, let's work together. And when we get to Kyoto, they get the handshake firmer. I get to be shogun. See, that's where everything goes down. Because obviously the other guy wants to be shogun, right?
Yeah.
There's no way none of this is going to work out ever. So, now that he's got his back covered, he's got a new plan. Get to Kyoto. But he can't do it just yet, because he did just have a really lucky win, and he just got a new ally. So he's gonna kind of sit for a second, you know, slow and steady. He doesn't want to be like, he doesn't want to make the same mistake that Imagawa just did, you know, and rush, you know, rush head first and die and have his clan get wiped out. Plus, there are two other things right in his way. As you can see here on the map, there is the Azai and the Saito. Those two guys right there are his big obstacles to getting down to Kyoto. So what he wants to do is he wants to make an alliance with them. Because, you know, it worked so far. He gets his sister and marries them to the Azai clan leader, technically making the Azai part of the Nobunaga family. Okay, good. He's got a buddy now. But he goes to try to do the same thing with the Saito leader and try to make, like, a deal. The Saito leader, Mr. Saito himself, because, you know, it's their last names, is like, you know what, I think I'll accept this deal. And right before he's signing the fucking pen and paper, the Saito son, Saito Jr., comes by and kills his dad, takes over the clan, and tells Oda Nobunaga to suck his fat fucking cock. He'll never make an alliance with them. So, he's gonna be put in his fucking place.
Okay, Alex, so the situation you just described with the Azai and the Saito, I don't know why I thought about this, but I was thinking of, like, those shitty mobile game ads where it's like you have to choose, like, oh. marry the other clan's wife or kill your father.
Kill your father and take control.
Now you're thinking, Alex, I know which ad you're thinking of right now, the Emperor and Beauties, where it's like, Emperor, here's your daughter. But Brack, and then like they like feed the baby milk and then brush it, and then she turns Chinese. Mobile game ads are fucking wild.
I was seeing the one where just let me go and I'll make you rich, or let me go and I'll let you do whatever you want to me. Now, Ted, there's a correct answer. Now, see, it's a trick question though. You see, you might think, oh, obviously he'll make me rich and he's the best option. But if he was so rich and powerful, why is he in jail? But anyway, back to the Saito. So the Saito piss Oda off. And they got put in their fucking place. Now, here comes a brand new party member. A man named Toyotomi Hideyoshi. This guy's a fan favorite character, I've noticed, by all the reading. And I can kind of see why. So, let me give you a little backstory here.
You can see why, because if he can eat the Koopas and spit out their shell, because he has Yoshi in his name, you see. And you can jump on chomper plants.
So guys, how would you get fans out there or be interested in a one person podcast by any chance?
I would.
I thought it was funny. Anyway, so this is the reason this guy's so popular. So he's got a perfect story. He was born as a peasant. In fact, he only had one name, because in Japan everyone changes names when they like do something cool. Like Kiposhi turned his name to Oda Nobunaga. Matsudaira turned their name to Tokugawa. You know, and then they take other people's names and shit, like the Hide thing. Everyone's got like 15 different names. I want to keep that in mind. So he's just one young little fucking, just little Toyo here. But he joins up with the Oda clan, and he is given a job by Oda himself, by Mr. Oda and Nobunaga himself. He becomes the sandal bearer. So what that is that's the guy who walks around and follows Oda Nobunaga around, or follows whatever daimyo he's serving, with the sandals in his hand. Because what you do in the Japanese like palaces, you would walk around with, like, you know, your socks or whatever. Then you'd have to cross like the courtyard. You'd be like, oh, Hideyoshi. He comes out, give you his sandals, you put your sandals on, walk across the courtyard, take them off, give them back to Hideyoshi. I'm sorry, you make him pick him back up, and then you keep walking. He would just follow you around with his shoes.
What about Hideyoshi's sandals?
Well, he has his own sandals. He's just wearing them. He can take care of his own feet, but he also has to make sure he takes care of fucking Nobunaga's feet above all else, okay? So that's all he did, was he was just the sandal guy. Or was he? You see, Nobunaga had an eye for talent. Nobunaga just one day sitting there watching Hideyoshi pick up his sandals, like sanding them down, you know, making them all clean. And he's like, like smoking his pipe. Hey, Mr. Hideyoshi, you know, come here. He's like, yeah? He gives him at the chin, he like looks him left, looks him right, eyes him up, you know, rubs his head. Hey, how would you like to be the lead architect in my military? So he just...
I don't know, sir. I sure do love shoes.
He's like, sir? And he pulls out a hammer. Bitch, I was born to build. So Hideyoshi is actually a master architect, turns out. And he knows his shit. He knows how to build a castle 6 ways from fucking Sunday, apparently. Again,
it sounds to me, then, like this dude knew what was up. He's like, okay, I can work for a living, or I could carry shit. I could carry sandals. One of these two is way harder. And then once he was directly confronted, he kind of had to go with it. That's my theory, my game theory on it.
Man, you carry that sandal really good. So would you like to build a fucking castle by any chance?
Fuck.
So for reference, right now it is currently the year 1561, because this is like the middle of the 1500s. For reference, the 1500s is where all the Ivan the Terrible stuff was happening. To kind of put in, and this is where all the Spanish conquistador shit was happening too. To put in perspective of what was going on in the world at one time, the 1500s.
Coincidence?
The 1500s. The 1500s were a happening year for the world. That really put everything.
The 1500s is your century. The 1800s is mine.
Basically, so. Finally, he's got his new party member, and he's got his clan, you know, kind of built back up. It's time to fuck up those Saito guys. Remember, they dishonored him earlier. So, there's one thing I talked about a very long time ago in a very random Noise Boys before we became the history podcast we are now. I told you about the perfect way to defend a castle, right? You got to put it up in the mountains, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the only way to really fight a castle is not to, you know, do some big epic battle, but it's to siege it and starve it out, right? So, we got a new plan, Tad. The Japanese are like us, only more, as hardcore history would say. So, he goes up to the Saito, the main Saito palace, you know, Mr. Saito's big residence, and he needs to assault it. But he can't just charge up it, because it's by a mountain surrounded, it's got one bridge to it, he'll just get funneled and killed. There's no way he can assault the castle or even siege it properly. Or is there? See, he goes over to Hideyoshi with a request. What are the big problems?
Hideyoshi, I want you to take this paper bag and fill it with dog turds.
He says one of the reasons he keeps failing is because he has to travel so far between here and the next, like, fucking supply pickup. Because remember, back then, there's no fridges. You had to pick up your fucking grain here and there, and he had, like, checkpoints. He needs a new checkpoint. Hideyoshi says he'll do one even fucking better. He will build him a full-on fucking a fortress right here at the castle's feet. And so Oda's like, all right, by all means, dude, fucking do it. So Hideyoshi, again, this is 100 total percent bullshit, he gets his fucking hammer and his wood and his nails, and he builds this massive fortress overnight. Obviously that's bullshit and that didn't happen, but he built it.
No, Alex, listen, this guy could do it, but, you know, like the giant that that Loki turned into a horse for, you know, it took him like months to build Asgard, but this guy could just do this in one day. It's fine. You just don't understand. The Japanese are like us, only more.
So obviously it wasn't a day, but he did it so fast that the Saito didn't stop him. Like, they're sitting there drinking their coffee. Like, they're trying to build a fort. Turns around to refill his coffee mug. Turns back. The fortress is complete. Like, spits it out. So
it's like Fortnite.
Literally ancient Fortnite. So they have their fortress now. They're just eyeballing each other. Okay, so the Saito are now scared and start holding the fuck up. Now they're definitely harder to assault. Or are they? See, Hideyoshi and Oda Nobunaga form a plan. Hideyoshi thinks, hey, give me a couple of goons. I can sneak in there. And Oda Nobunaga's like, all right, by all means. Because he's a little impressed, because that's just what he did to fight the Imagawa. So he gives him his goons. He gives him a couple of his ninja and shit. Says, do it, man. So Hideyoshi, he talked to some locals earlier, and he knows of a little path that goes right to the back of the mountain. It's actually how these guys supply themselves. So he, at the cover of nightfall, takes him and his ninjas and shit, sneaks in. He only has like 500 guys. He sneaks into the fucking castle through the back thing, takes all night, and he gets there right when the sun's coming up, and he busts in and fucking takes out a big fucking torch and lights the fucking powder room on fire and blows up a huge portion of the castle right then and there. Right there, everything starts catching a fire and going to shit. The fucking Saito are like, oh shit, what the fuck? They're like, oh shit. They start running to the courtyard thinking there's a fight going down. Other guys see the explosion just fucking bail out of the castle. Everything's going to shit. Everyone's just rabbling all in circles and shit. Hideyoshi sneaks through the chaos, because he doesn't want to fight, fuck that. Sneaks through, opens the fucking door, opens the lock, kicks it open, says, hey guys, it's easy pickings, and the fucking Oda clan just charge in, destroy everything, and take over the whole fucking castle right then and there.
I appreciate that this is basically the Battle of Helm's Deep, but from the orc's point of view, where they sneak in there with the bomb, and then it blows up.
So, Hideyoshi totally just took over that whole fucking castle. And I should also mention that the castle he built is a famous one called Inabayama. Okay. It's just a famous fortress because, you know, he built in a night, a.k.a.
It just breaks, like, shitty IKEA furniture because he built it in one night.
So, after this thing, Nobunaga was so proud of Hideyoshi that he promoted him to a little lord right there. You know, not as much of a lord as him, but you know, his right hand.
You're now receiving a promotion. You can now carry 3 sandals.
Oh, boggers, dude! He's got like one under his shoulder. Oh, this is awesome.
He's holding them, they're attached with a string, he's swinging around like nunchucks.
So they take over the entire Saito, just wiped them the fuck out. Now it's Oda land, and you know, he gives Hideyoshi the fort and lets him rule over that new conquered land. So now he's got Ieyasu back there, he's got Hideyoshi right here. Now Kyoto is all easy pickings. Or is it? You see, here's a problem with 1500 politics. Nobunaga can't be portrayed as the bad guy, as I slowly pan to the camera. He can't just be an asshole and attack everybody, because, you know, this fight technically was retaliation to the dishonor of, you know, killing the would-be ally, you know, the dad, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could argue that he was doing something in the right, but there's no real argument that could be made of just marching to Kyoto, putting his flag down, and saying he's the shogun. Can't just do that.
So who... Does Saito currently have ownership of Kyoto?
No. Kyoto is ruled by another clan who is going to come up. They'll be mentioned, don't worry. Because we're not in there yet. But there is another clan there that they're kind of like medium-sized. And like I said, just because you're in Kyoto and have the city doesn't actually mean anyone's going to listen to you. But it's a political codpiece. But Oda, because he's got a nice-sized army at this point, could theoretically, you know, start making that claim if he could get in there. But he can't yet. So he's sitting there. He's just looking there. This takes like a whole year of him just sitting there, you know, just smoking his pipe, like angry eyes, looking at the big city in his camp, in his little tent. He just can't do it. He can't find an excuse. He just, if only, because you see, if he goes in there, and he says he's a warlord, all the other clans can unite against him. But then a man shows up. A man out of nowhere named Ashikaga Yoshiaki. Ashikaga is the shogun clan name. I had to remember it. Yoshiaki comes in here, and he says, "Hey, I'm actually the next in line for the throne. I was kicked out a long time ago and was living out in the fucking like sewers and shit. But now that I've seen the waves you've been making, dude, put me in power, and I'll give you whatever you want." Now, Oda says, that story is total horse shit. There's no way this random 30-year-old man is the actual heir to the throne. But that is just the
excuse. I like his gumption.
But I like this plan. This is just the excuse I needed. So Oda puts his arm around his guy and says, "You know what? I believe every single thing you said. Let's go to Kyoto, my man." So he marches into Kyoto with his army, but he gets a homemade megaphone between a megaphone, a string, and a squirrel, and says, "Hey, everybody. I just wanted to let everybody know that I am not a conquering warlord. I am simply promoting Yoshiaki here to his rightful place in power. I would like to reiterate, I am not a warlord. I am simply restoring the Ashikaga shogunate so that way nobody can fight anymore and we can all get along. If anyone has a problem with this, they're an asshole and they're the bad guy. I repeat, anybody stopping me is the bad guy." And all of the clans are like, I mean, yeah, technically he's got a point there. He made such a showing of it. He can't. You know, if you argue that, then you can easily just claim you're a rebellious asshole. You dig?
Yeah.
So now he marches in there, puts him in the throne, gives him his nice little brushes his hair, pats his head. He's like, "All right, now Nobu turns around to his plan and rubs his hands. Now I'm technically ruling Japan." So there's a little bit of a problem here, though. See, talk about Yoshiaki. He was actually lying about giving Oda whatever he wanted. Yoshiaki just wanted to rule Japan. So now the both of them start planning against each other.
Oh, it didn't take very long for things to fall apart. I think the first crack in their relationship was when they realized they did not have 2 pairs of ruling sandals.
So Yoshiaki, because remember, there is still an emperor, but no one cares about him right now. It's all about the shogun. So Oden and Yoshiaki starts to make a big celebratory feast and invite all the clan leaders to all the clan leaders down to one big party alone with no guards to celebrate this brand new shogun. Now,
So how many of these dumb motherfuckers go in to die?
Here's the problem, though. Both of them start sending different letters. Oda can't send the letters himself. He makes Yoshiaki send, like, hey, everybody, come on down with no guards, haha, smile, smiley face. But as soon as
down to the barbecue. We're having a block party.
Yoshiaki sends that to, let's open the map here. Send that down to the Asakura, right? Because they're right next door. Here, Mr. Asakura, here's a party invitation. And then fucking Yoshiaki, like fucking pulls out of his pocket another letter. But here's the real letter, wink. And then he reads the second letter and it says, oh my god, please help me. This guy's a fucking madman. Holy shit, he's like totally fucking crazy and shit. If you guys kick him out of power, I will install you in power. And so the Asakura guy, like, looks at one letter, looks at the other letter and says, this is total bullshit. He gets up, he gets his megaphone out and says, hey, this is total bullshit. Nobunaga, you're behind all of this and you just want to kill everybody at that party. And Nobunaga wanted that to happen. Nobunaga knew no one was ever going to fucking fall for that. But
now he's been accused of something that I would never do.
No. Who wrote the letter? Yoshiaki.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
The shogun wrote that. The shogun sent him a formal invitation and he called it bullshit. Thus, he's disrespecting the shogun, thus giving Nobunaga, you know, the right-hand man, wink, perfect fucking cause to go beat the shit out of the Asakura. So, here we go. He has
enough. That's actually kind of galaxy brain.
Yep.
Nobunaga's really smart.
Nobunaga's got that 1500s fucking Japanese politics down. So, now he's got this plan. He's going to go and fuck them up. He's going to get his boys, you know, cover in his flank like usual, get his army together, crack his knuckles. All right. Easy fucking pickings. But let's look at the map again real quick. You know, zoom in right here. Right there. So Kyoto's over there on the left, kind of by where, the clan's different now. See where the Miyoshi is? It's around, yeah. Like, above the there in the Hatano right there. But you see that clan right there, the Azai clan, a little clan right between them and the Asakura.
The one that he married his sister to.
Yes. I'm glad you paid attention to that. I don't have to repeat myself. You see, he's got to cross through that land and get to the Asakura. Okay, that's easy pickings. They're part of the family. So he's walking by, waving hands to his brother-in-law, basically. But here's the problem with ancient Japanese politics. The Azai clan leader says, be a real dick move if I allied myself with the Asakura right about now. And they fucking sneak attack the fucking Oda right then and there. When, like, whoa, shit, what? When their backs are turned to that, the Asakura jump in and they pincer the shit out of them and start beating the shit out of them. The Nobunagas, the Odas are now surrounded and are getting their asses absolutely handed to them. Nobu's like, okay, guys, I've got a crazy plan, just like the one back in my original palace. You see, I'm gonna take it, and its generals come in and say, dude, not this time. We're fucked. We gotta bounce out of here. And Oda's like, fine, we'll leave, fine, we'll come back later, fine. Fucking, those Azai bastards, I can't believe it. Can't believe they fucking betrayed me like this. Those assholes, I don't married my sister to them. So they're walking back, you know, tail between their legs, only like half their fucking army. They're all bloody, they're all sad. He's just mad when out of nowhere. Out of fucking nowhere, in the fucking treetops, a man named Senjubo shows up. A ninja, carrying the secret ninja weapon, a gun, and shoots Oda Nobunaga 3 times. 2 in the chest, 1 in the head, kills him, and jumps away. And they never catch this guy. But, here's the thing about Oda Nobunaga. Dying ain't easy. He gets back up, pulls the fucking bullets out of his fucking, like, chest. And the one that Ed was in his helmet didn't hit his head. It just lodged right there in like the centerpiece. He gets up and he's even more pissed off than before. So
he was walking in full samurai armor.
Yeah. He had the works. He was decked out.
Man, what a shitty gun. Isn't samurai... Now, okay. So samurai armor, from what I understand, is like a very hard leather and wood. It's not metal because metal is not like... Japan is not rich in that, so they weren't walking around with fucking tank armor that they were doing in Europe and shit.
Yeah, so basically, we run down the samurai armor. So you had metal to make swords and shit, which you floated 1,000 fucking times, yada, yada, yada. So they had, like, a metal frame to hold it together, and then, like, a wood, like, centerpiece, and then some leather covering it, basically. So the primary source of protection was wood and leather. But remember, this was an arcoblast. This is, like, a really, really old shitty gun, because Japan doesn't trade that much with other countries, so they're kind of low on the tech right now. Like, a lot of them are still using bows and arrows right now. But he survives, goes back, he gets so mad, like, digging his nails into the fucking, like, throne chair. He decides to rally his two boys, Hideyoshi and Tokugawa. He brings them up to Kyoto and says, "All right, guys, all three of us need to work together and teach these fuckers a lesson." So, now, for reference, it is 1570. So, Oda, Tokugawa, both get their armies together and go right to the Azai to get revenge. And once again, he still has justification for these actions because he was technically betrayed, remember?
Yeah.
So, they line up their armies on this thing called the Onigawa River. The Tokugawa are right here going to fight the Azai, and Oda is going to fight the Asakura. But right before they fight, right the night before, Oda switches the battle around. He says, "Hey, I want to fuck up the Azai myself. Trade places with me." So they take all their armies and just swap them across the river while no one's looking. The whole massive thing, just like an RTS, just whoosh, just swapping places. So now they're ready to actually fight. Here's the problem, though. The Oda clan kind of bit off more than they can chew, and the Azai clan, despite their tiny size, had a lot of really good warriors and were just killing the shit out of all of the Oda, just getting their fucking asses pushed in. In fact, a guy actually sneaks up on Oda when he's not looking and tries to kill him, but one of his retainers saves his life and he doesn't even notice. He just almost dies. That's how over his head he is right now. But whoop, on the other side of the river, Ieyasu is just kicking ass. He is just beating up every single Asakura that gets in his fucking way. Ieyasu just pushes right through and kills him easy fucking peasy, and looks over and sees how Oda's struggling, sends his cavalry over to flank to the side, breaks the shit out of the Azai, and starts fucking them up, giving the Oda another chance to push on through. And Oda Nobunaga, again, totally right to size, Oda Nobunaga himself comes up and kills the Azai leader, you know, the guy he married his sister to, right then and there in the battlefield. So they're all right. So they get their asses kicked. So now they're all taken care of. He takes care of these guys, you know, pushes them the fuck in, but he can't finish them off because there's a problem. Remember how you asked a while ago, is there a clan that was in Kyoto before? There is. The Miyoshi. These guys, also named Miyoshi, they were like, "Hey, wait a minute." They were just kind of sitting there minding their business because, you know, the shogun's, you know, there. They can't technically fight Oda because they'd be the bad guys, right? But they see that Oda's got his ass kicked in that little war, and they decide it's time to fuck shit up. They go and ally with this completely different faction I haven't mentioned yet, the Ikkyo Iki. The Ikkyo Iki are warrior monks. So, check this out. In Japan, look at the map again. See all this shit right here? All of these clans are samurai, but look right up there. See the Ikkyo Iki? Those guys are the only clan here that are not samurai. They're monks. Warrior monks who beat Buddhism into your fucking skull. So, they're over here, and they've always been a thorn in every single samurai's side. There we go. I fucking listed that super hard. They've been a pain in the ass because they don't have to follow the samurai code because they ain't samurai. Oh. They can do whatever they want.
So that's why every time they've had to do something dishonorable, like, okay, so now the reason that they won't do something dishonorable, like just going in and killing someone without warning, is that because then other people can easily justify allying up to take someone down and then carve up his land to take for themselves?
Yeah, that's pretty much the reason. Like, samurai talk about honor and code and shit, but for the most part, they're all just a bunch of, like, plotting assholes. But, like,
yeah,
that's basically it, because that's what Oda feared if he just marched into Kyoto originally without Yoshiaki with him, that everyone would just unite and kill him because he was being a warlord, you know?
Yeah.
But
because if you're one single clan, you kind of can't take everyone on. Like, you're just going to lose. So you have to team up and do all this shit. So you got to play this political game. Okay.
Yeah. So these guys rule over the Kaga province. So these guys have ruled in here for 100 years. They came in, beat the shit out of the samurai clan that lived there, and just took it over. But there's another thing that they do. Because they are still a religious organization, you can't just go and kick them out. Because then you're an asshole. Because there's just a bunch of regular peasants and shit that do Buddhism and shit with them, right? They're still an organization, and they can go around and just build up a temple into your land and stay there and pray and shit. And also pack some heat, but also just pray and shit. So that's why they're such a pain in the ass. Because, you know, how does it feel when you have this completely, you know, foreign entity, right? This complete just random guy walk into your land, put up his house, and point a gun at you. He's not shooting it, but he's right there. That's why these guys don't like him. So Nobunaga especially hated this guy. These guys. These guys have always just gotten his fucking nerves. He hated them because they weren't samurai, and they also kept fucking around in his land. There's so many fucking temples to these guys all over the place. They're just walking around. He's looking at them. Ugh.
He keeps stubbing his toe on them.
Yeah. So
he has to wear his kicking sandals so he doesn't hurt his feet.
So they break the last straw that breaks fucking Oda's back is they don't pay fucking taxes. They don't. They just sit there. They just sit there and pray and eat fucking bread. And at one point, they just beat the shit out of one of Oda Nobunaga's trade routes, took all the fucking rice and bread, and ran off with it. That pissed him off, but that technically gives him justification now, so he's gonna immediately snatch up on that. This like, $5 worth of bread, fuck it, that's all he needs. He just wants them gone. So they go to this big fucking temple in the Ikioki land. This big temple. Fuck, did I write the name of this temple down? I had to have.
See, with this Eco Icky, it's making me think, I wonder how many people that are, like, super racist towards the Jewish people have tried to use, like, the Eco Icky as, like, their super, like, racist justification shit. Because it sounds like something that I could see, like, those alt-right super nerds trying to use. Especially because most of them are fucking losers. And, you know, as losers do, they really like Japan.
Oh, yes.
So, I don't know. It's just something that just kind of came to my attention.
It's more like it's just easy justification to hate them. But, yeah. Okay, I wrote it down.
Religious persecution has been around for a very long time.
This is something you should keep in mind, is that Japan wasn't all Buddhist. Japan is this thing called Shinto, which is their own, like, religion, with the temples and the shrines and bullshit with spirits. That's their main religion at this time. Buddhism is just kind of encroaching in with these warrior monks, and Christianity comes in later, and it gets booted the fuck out. But they are a different religion. So they live in Ishiyama Honganji. There you go. Honganji is how you say it. So okay. he goes to Ishiyama, and he has a plan. He's going to just all-out attack them. He's going to take his 30,000 goons, RTS, drag-click over all of them, and then just right-click the temple. So here's why this fails miserably. The warrior monks had this planned out. These guys, you saw that Galaxy Brain was smart earlier with that whole political thing? Check out the warrior monks' strat. Okay, so around the temple, I'm going to paint this picture for you. You have the big temple right here where everyone prays and fucking shit, right? All around this big circle is this big man-made murky swamp. They murked that shit up good, but also they buried a bunch of pots underneath the mud. So when you walk through it, it's like almost waist-deep mud. It's huge. But when you walk down there, clunk, you get your foot stuck in a pot and you fucking struggle to move even more. So it bogs you down, like, twice as much. So say you get slowed by, like, 30%, now you're slowed down by 60%. As you just clunk, clunk, walking through this mud, and you're all, as soon as all 30,000 of those guys are in that mud, the warrior monks come out with guns. The gun monks show up.
Now that's multi-classing.
So the gun monks are trained in the ancient art of shooting the fuck out of people, and they use that ancient art to shoot the fuck out of everybody that was stuck in the mud. They just fucking butchered all of those poor guys stuck in there. So
do you know about rough Koreans, Alex?
Yes, actually. I know about that story.
These are gun monks. The equivalent to roof Koreans in the 1500s.
So keep in
for those who don't know, Rough Koreans was. I think it was during the LA riots or something like that. There were some big riots. And these dudes are just like, nah, we're not going to let people blow up our fucking place of business. So they just got on the roof with guns and then no one fucked with their stores.
So this assault fails miserably for Nobunaga and he has to retreat every like last guys he has. He has a new plan. Okay, I can't just win. I'm going to have to just siege it like normal. And a siege is a very slow process we talked about where you surround them and try to starve them out. But here's the problem with that. The siege takes 11 years because
they're monks.
They're really good at they're monks. They're really good at holding out on little food. But also because regular people can still go to the temple to pray, people would just sneak in food for them. So it was really hard to siege that. So for like 11 years, he just had like 20,000 goons just around the temple, just kind of sitting there like tapping their fingers, waiting for them to fucking give up. It was the worst.
So I imagine the peasants liked them more than these fucking samurai warlords. I don't imagine these monks were like forcing them to pay a lot in taxes and like rampaging across their fucking country.
Well, the monks didn't pay taxes, remember? Yeah, they pretty much just sat there and just kind of squatted and just prayed and shit and ate bread. So
I guess anyone within those lands just got to kind of live like they wanted to without government interference. Huh. That would have been nice.
Well, you had to be Buddhist, though. You had to be that religion, or they would beat the shit out of you. They still
Buddhism
had guns.
A high maintenance fucking religion, dude.
I'm just saying though that they still did T-pose on you to do what they said. It wasn't just all peace and fucking sunshine. But anyway. I mean, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably still pick the fucking monks myself. But anyway. So they're sitting there, but they're taking care of in air quotes. They're going to be sieged now. They can't come out and attack again. But we have another problem, because it just doesn't stop for Mr. Oda Nobunaga. Remember the Asai and Asakura? Remember how they couldn't actually finish them off, even though they won? Well, they're back. They're back and they're pissed off. Now they pretend that they have a justification to justify the justification of the previous justification of a war. And now they have their own warrior monks. Because remember, there's not just the Ikuiki. They're all over Japan. Now they have new monks who live up in oh, fuck, I'm going to butcher this. Inryaku-ji, all right? Inryaku-ji on the map, way up here in this mountain, right next door to Kyoto. And this makes Oda Nobunaga clutch his hand so hard, it just starts to fucking bleed. He gets so mad. Because now, technically, these warrior monks are a huge threat right fucking next door. He could walk to that fucking temple. It's right there. It's right there. He cannot let them have a fucking a base right there, right? He can't let them do that. So he gets a plan. He's going to attack this other warrior monk temple, but he's got a different plan this time. He's not going to goddamn go up and charge uphill on this massive mountain. He'll just die. He learned from the moat earlier, right? New plan. This plan is also kind of fucked up. He has all of his army go all the way around the mountain. It's a decent-sized mountain, too. That's a long way around. Has them all light torches and set the entire forest on fire.
So
the entire forest on the entire mountainside just goes up in flames super fast and starts burning down the whole fucking temple that was positioned on top of it. And Otis tells everyone, around the mountain, anyone who tries to run away gets cut down. Every single person that lived in the temple, even just the regular-ass peasants, even women and children, everyone gets cut down trying to run away from the fire. He kills...
What a cool hero.
He kills 20,000 people right then and there, and the entire fucking... like, because bad news travels fast, everyone is now freaked the fuck out about Oda Nobunaga. So, it's now 1571. A few years... Let's skip ahead a little bit to kind of get this going. So they're taken care of, and now the Asai and Asakura are also getting their shits kicked the fuck in. He's just walking in there, and he's just beating the shit out of them. Finally, things are going well for him. Well, here's a problem. Ieyasu, his bro Migo, now has a little bit of an issue going on. You see, remember Yoshiaki again, that shogun who's sitting there plotting against Nobunaga this whole time? He's still there.
Yeah.
And he's got new plans, because the old plans failed, the second plans failed, third time's a charm. So, he begs another clan leader. We're going to go up here, whoop, the Takeda. See that big red section right there? They're a big clan. He begs them, begs Mr. Shingen, the leader, to come in and beat the shit out of goddamn Nobunaga. Now, Takeda has a nickname. His name is Taro. He's a bigwig daimyo. Now, you've actually seen him. You've actually seen bits of him in media, and you haven't even noticed it. So, he had a really distinct-looking armor set. He had his normal samurai armor, but he had the big hair on his helmet. You've probably seen that in your animes and your fucking Four Honors and shit, that big hairy helmet, you know, the big, like, plume. That's from him. It's all from this guy. And also, he had a specific type of cavalry charge, aka a cavalry charge, that would just wipe everyone the fuck out. Because not a lot of people had horses back then. He had basically all of them. So when he just charged forward a bunch of goons, cavalry just win every fucking time. But also, he fought this other guy named Kenshin. Kenshin is a bigwig daimyo who's going to come up again later. And he kicked his ass. He didn't kill him, but he kicked his ass so hard that he made himself kind of like, he made himself Taro and made himself really fucking popular. Everyone's kind of scared of him. Another thing that he did that was also really hardcore is, at one point, his son said, "You know what, Dad? You're a shitty leader. I think I'd be better than you." And right then and there, his father, aka Mr. Shingen himself, just killed him. Just cut him down right fucking there. In cold fucking blood. So, yeah, that's probably romanticized, but that's Takeda. Everyone's scared of this guy. But Takeda gets that letter, and he's like, that's a good idea. So Takeda now, he takes his whole cavalry, his whole army, and starts marching down towards Kyoto. But remember, whoop, back to the map. So in order to get there, he's got to kind of curve up. He can kind of go through the Saito land, which is being ruled by Hideyoshi, or he can go down and go through the Tokugawa land and the Oda land, which is being ruled over by Ieyasu right now. He decides to go fuck up with Ieyasu. So he gets over there and just starts fucking shit up. Ieyasu's getting his shit pushed in. Tokugawa Ieyasu has been very good at fighting this whole time, but he can't stand against this cavalry. It's just too good. So he gets a plan. You see, there's literally no way you could ever win on a big open field against a cavalry charge, right? Because yeah, that's where horses fight. So Ieyasu gets all of his goons together and makes one big final stand. Pick the location, Ted. Where do you think he fights everybody?
A swamp.
No, he fights in a big open land. So he gets fucking destroyed. He's an idiot.
Okay.
Haha, oops. So every one of his men die except for five. Five goons and himself are all that's left. So he has he has to limp all the way back to his castle and just wait to die. So here's the thing about Ieyasu. He has a plan. He's not gonna try to fight, but he's not gonna just kill himself either. Because the thing that people would do back then is when they knew all hope was lost and they were defeated, rather than let the enemy kill them, they would take their own life with seppuku. You know, they would commit Sudoku and just, you know, cut themselves up in a weird grid pattern on their chest. So Ieyasu has a plan though. There's an ancient Chinese story that he liked. And he was inspired by. And he decides to give it a shot. He decides to swing open the gates. You probably know where this is going. Has one guy run around the castle, light all the fucking banners and torches on fire and shit. Opens the gate and has that same soldier start beating the war drum and start chanting, screaming out into the fucking field. So Mr. fucking Shingen comes in here. Mr. Takeda walks up with his massive army, looks at this guy with his little binoculars, sees the guy just like dancing around, chanting with the door open. And he's like,
what's he doing in there?
He's got more guys, and there's no way he's doing this. Like, sir, he only has five guys. Does he only have five guys? I'm thinking. I want to charge, but if he surrounds me, I'm totally fucked, because my horses can't fight inside a castle. And just right then and there, part two of the plan. He gets a new guy, this new character you've actually heard of, his secret weapon, Hattori Hanzo. Yes, this is where the video game character comes from.
Okay.
This is where Overwatch character comes from, too. This is where Hanzo comes from. Hattori Hanzo is a ninja. He's a ninja totally, completely loyal to Ieyasu and the Tokugawa clan. He has been with Ieyasu and saved his ass more times than you can count. And we're going to give Ieyasu his own episode, because he deserves one. So don't worry, we'll go more into these guys later. But Hanzo, he's a good fucking ninja. He's got a name for a reason. He gets his, like, he only has, like, 80 ninjas. He gets his 80 ninjas, sneaks on through, and just starts cutting people off and then disappearing, cutting more people off and disappearing. Again, this is probably romanticized. But they start ninja striking. Because
remember, Alex, they're used to horse warfare tactics, not guerrilla tactics.
Yeah. So the ninjas start coming in and start stabbing a couple guys, running off, stabbing a couple guys. Like, they just keep poking in and out and start killing guys one by one. Takeda then thinks, oh, shit. He's doing this crazy attack with his ninja because he does have more guys in there. He's just softening us up so that when we charge in there, we get surrounded. Fuck this. We're out. No, fuck this. Fuck this. We're out of here. Back it up, guys. Back it up. We're going back home. Back it up. Now,
it's a similar strategy to when I was playing on Dragon Ball FighterZ and I kept doing Boo's medium butt slam where I had the exact same hit, but I would just do it 8 times in a row because like they're thinking there's no way he's just going to do it again. So I'm going to do this move. It landed 4 times in a row. He's never going to do it again. So, isn't there like, there's like a really popular Street Fighter 4 video where a guy just walks up, grabs, and does it like 6 times?
I know there's the Ken Infinite where he walks up, does 2 lights, and then 2 lights, 2 lights, 2 lights, because the guy just never blocks low. But he gets spooked and runs away. Now, Iyasu would claim him and Hanzo did it all themselves, but there actually was another factor of why he retreated. It wasn't just that easy. See, what happened is, again, look to the map. See the Isugi right there? Takeda was worried, because he took his whole army over there, he was worried that the Isugi would notice and just march in and take over his land while he wasn't looking. So he wanted to get back home. Yeah,
they would go southwest and take the top right of his land.
Yeah, so he wanted to get back home to make sure they were safe. So he's out. And there goes the Shogun's plan again to usurp Nobunaga for like the 3rd time. So, oops. So we're going to time jump again a little bit, a few more years. So, 1573 hits. Now, this is a couple years in the future. Takeda's back. And he wants to fuck up the Tokugawa one more time. So, he starts to siege a tower. On the way to Tokugawa lands, gets shot by a stray bullet and dies.
Nice.
He doesn't get lucky with his armor. He just gets fucked. So a new Takeda shows up. Takeda Katsuyori, or as I call him, Takeda 2. Takeda 2.
Yeah, Tukeda.
Tukeda. I'm taking that name. That's a good name. He's not Shingen. He's not Shingen by a mile. He gets a new plan. So just attacking isn't going to work this time. So let's get a traitor involved. Let's get kind of bribe our way through.
I wonder where they could find a traitor within the Tokugawa.
Tad, everyone in the Tokugawa is completely loyal. In fact, the traitor is so bad at his job. He's like, hey guys, the Isugi, I'm sorry, the Takeda are pretty poggers, am I right? He gets murdered right then and there. The traitor plan falls flat on its fucking face. New plan. Hey, let's just go take over a fort. Let's go to Nagashino. Nagashino is a nice little castle positioned by this river. So you could only actually attack it from one side. So it's actually pretty well defended. So they just charge forward. And they have such a big army that they could clog their guns with their bullets. Clog their guns with their corpses. They're just kind of pushing on through the fortress. So
it's like when, let's say that you're playing Pikmin and all you got are red Pikmin and there's a water guy, but you just have like 400 Pikmin, so you just throw them all in there with the C-stick and call it good.
Yeah.
Who needs tactics that I could just Zerg rush?
Yeah, so he starts Zerg rushing the shit out of Nagashino, and it's kind of working, slowly but surely. So here's another little story we're going to talk about, probably romanticized. Again, like I said, this is going to be long because this is just so much shit happens all in this one period of time, but it's very fun. So a guy sneaks out of the castle while it's being sieged. He sneaks out by fucking Assassin's Creed diving off of the side of the castle and into the river. And then he sneaks out to the river. Now, the Takeda planned for this. They put a bunch of bells and shit around the river in case anyone snuck by it. But he got lucky and snuck through the bells. And he runs. This man is named Tsunemon. Tsunemon runs so fucking far. All the way over. Begs down. By Mr. Oda Nobunaga and Ieyasu themselves, because they're just having a meeting. They're both together. This is where Oda finally comes back into this. So, Tsunemon's like, please, oh god, this fortress is being under attack. We need your help right now. Takeda's being a fucking asshole. And Oda and Nagisa are like, oh shit, no, we'll be right there right a fucking way. We'll be there in like fucking 7 days. But Tsunemon's like, fuck, 7 days? My fortress can only hold out for about 5 more at best. All right, guys, give me a horse. I'm going to ride on ahead of you. Because, you know, one guy can go faster than a whole fucking army, right? Because you got to make sure the army's all together. Yeah. So he rides all the way back and tries to sneak back into the castle to warn his guys and say, like, hey, guys, this is looking bad, but their hope is coming, right? He wants to let them know. But he gets captured this time. He can't get back in. The Takeda grab him and bring him down to fucking, you know, Takeda's feet. And he offers him a deal. He says, listen, I will let you live if you tell all of your friends that no hope is coming, that there's no help, there's no hope, to give up and give me the fort. And Tsunemon agrees. So they fucking crucify his ass. They put him on a big stick or whatever, you know, put him on a big cross. Ugh. Put him up there. They don't pin him down. They just tie him down. They tie him up, put him up there, give him the fucking squirrel megaphone. And he's like, all right, say the line. Tsunemon, again, just totally romanticized. Yeah, it's all quiet. He says, Oda Nobunaga and Ieyasu are on their way. Just stay strong. And then the Takeda just fucking stab the shit out of him and kill him. Yeah. But the hope, they now have hope. They fortify their defenses and they wait. And then here they come. Whoop, here comes Oda Nobunaga and Mr. Tokugawa himself to just fuck up Takeda. Now, Takeda has a plan for this. He's got his cavalry. His dad's cavalry is the best cavalry in the fucking land. He's going to just charge forward and just wipe them out like last time. Here's the problem, though. They learn from their previous mistakes, and they construct a brand new defense never thought of before. A fence.
A barricade.
A fence. Oh. But a barricade's technically what it was. Now, they take bamboo, sharpen it, stick it in the ground so the sharp point is pointing outwards towards the horses, and that was it. Just a line of sharp bamboo. So the horsemen are like, hey, this is bad. There's kind of a barricade there. Takeda says, charge anyway. We're undefeatable. So they charge anyway and get gunned down. Because the horses, you know, they're like, eh. They don't want to fucking run their asses into the fucking fence. So they back out and try to walk away. And so they make easy pickings for the three-line formation, which is Oda Nobunaga's little secret tactic of three lines of guns, bang-bang, next line, bang-bang, next line, bang-bang. They just get mowed down right then
and
there.
He's doing, hold on. So you're telling me that that's the same fucking strategy that the Redcoats used in I'm an idiot. What was that name? 1776? Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. How did I forget that? I kept wanting to say Civil War.
So did I.
I don't think that was the Civil War.
But no, but I mean, technically speaking, it was a form of Civil War, you can argue, because we were their citizens. But anyway. Well, to be fair, Ted, it doesn't take much of a genius to figure out that, like, the guns take a while to reload and you should do it in, like, a line.
Yeah, I guess.
But three lines of down, they're all fucked. And so the entire Takeda Horde cavalry is wiped the fuck out. In fact, most of the Takeda clan is completely fucking wiped out. So they had to give up, shrug, and walk all the way back home. And now, here's where the Uesugi come in. The Uesugi form an alliance with another group of warrior monks. Remember the fucking guys in Honganji? You know, the guys who were being sieged this whole time? Yeah, they're still kind of kicking. So they got their warrior monks, they got their gun monks, they got their little pots and shit. And now Kenshin, the leader of the Uesugi, is ready to fuck shit up. Kenshin is so feared that he's actually called Bishamonten, the warrior god of Japan, who you guys might know as that one SMT demon that has like 4 recolors. Now, Kenshin starts mounting a massive army. Gets his cavalry, his big siege weapons. He's got a catapult. He's got a fucking catapult, Tad. Nobody else has a fucking catapult back then. He's ready to fucking, like, warrior siege this shit. So then, he dies. He just falls down and dies. We don't know how he dies.
I'm going to say, I think it involved the Wile E. Coyote catapult.
He's like, all right, boys, just the catapult. It just flings down and hammers him and kills him. He just dies. He's just like, man, it'd be a dick move if I died right about now. And just falls over. So
does he add any super doo wop? Bam.
He trips on a rock and falls on a knocked over stool like that fucking one boxing movie, just snaps his neck and dies. So The clan falls apart without a leader, and now Oda Nobunaga is like, finally! The whole continent is mine! The whole country is mine! So...
And then he trips into a catapult.
Well, no. He now has all of Japan, because all it's left is a bunch of shitty little clans and warrior monks just kind of holding out left and right. He can take them down.
Like those dudes in the top right, the Megumi and the Date, the ones that are like probably just farmland and shit.
Yeah, those guys are so far away that like he can just work his way out from Kyoto and just take him by. You know, easy peasy. He's got it, because the Usugi were big and powerful, but the other guys are just kind of like, you know, medium and whatever. So, you know, he's kicking back. He's got this in the fucking bag. And now, to make this episode even longer, I'm going to talk about a bonus character, because this is the only time I'll ever get to talk about this guy. We talked about him a long time ago in a Random Noise Boys, but 1597, bonus party member shows up. Some Italian motherfuckers show up. Some Italian missionaries.
And his name? Mario.
Mario shows up. It's Samurai Mario with a little M on his sword. No. So there, these guys are here to spread some Christianity. Typical missionary shit. But it's not about these two Italian guys that are what I'm not talking about. It's the guy they brought with them. See, they had a slave they brought with them. And this guy is the freakiest thing that Japan has ever seen. Because this is a closed-off country, they have never seen a black guy before. So this guy is over 6 feet tall. He's big. He's strong as fuck as well, you know, he's a slave, that's what he does. And he's just, like, looming over everyone, just following these missionaries around. And people in Japan, they're not racist, guys, they just didn't know any better. They just never saw one before. Remember, it's 1500s.
They thought he was a demon?
No, they just thought he was, like, a fucking freak. Like, they'd be, like, sitting there, like, I should love to sip my noodle. And spit all your fucking, like, noodles on everyone.
What you do, how is that?
What the fuck? As you just walk around, like, people would stop and stare. They, like, open their windows. Like, kids would just, like, drop them with their, like, their toys. Just look at them.
Yeah, so it's like being a black man in any modern day Asian country.
Oh fuck, there's this movie, that cowboy movie we were just talking about the other day.
Blazing Sandals?
Yeah, Blazing Sandals.
Blazing Sandals is Yoshi's favorite movie. Yeah. Sorry, Blazing Sandals is the one we know.
You know how he's walking through with the horse, like all the guys, the cowboys are like start falling over and shit? 100% what was happening here. So one of those guys was one of Nobunaga's retainers. Retainers are basically like the right-hand goons to a daimyo. You know, the bigwig samurai. He's like, yeah. Holy shit! He's like, he runs all the way back to the big fucking castle. He kicks down the door. He's like, holy shit. Oda, you're never gonna believe it. He's like, out with it, man. What is it? He's like, there's a black guy down in town. And he's like, bullshit. Black people don't exist. Bring him forward. So they get down to the fucking town. Grab the black man and his missionaries, drag him to, I hope it was peacefully, drag him up to the castle, and then throw him there, and they're like, hello? And they're like, hey, you push him aside, he's looking at the black guy, like, eyeing him up, he's like, wait a minute, he touches his hand, this is bullshit, look at his palms, he's white like you fucks, scrub him down! So they get their sponges out, and they start scrubbing and washing down this black guy. I'm sure he was very confused by all of this. They start to wash him, but the black isn't coming off, and the Italians explain, no, this is just how he looks, the hands and feet, this just works that way. And Oda's like, son of a bitch, this is the craziest thing you guys have ever sent me.
Alex, I want it. I'm pretty sure I told you the story, and I understand the thought process entirely. Because this is literally the exact same thing I thought when I was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's the story you told me and how I brought it up.
Oh, fuck.
So, again, guys, they're not racist. They just didn't know any better. This is the first black person they've ever seen. Give it a different time. But Oda's like, all right, I want him. I'll give you $10 for him. Like, hey, he's part of our family. You can't just sell him for $10. $20. All right, he's all yours. So they give him. So they give him the guy, and nobody's like lining him up. He's talking to him. Now we're not sure how they talked. We know from letters they talked a lot, but we're not sure how. Maybe he knew Chinese. Maybe they just taught him Japanese. We're not sure. But he was talking to him, and he gives him a new name, Yosuke. And he's like, Yosuke, smoking his pipe. I want to make you a retainer. Because remember. He has an eye for talent. He'll make the shoe guy the lead architect. He'll make a random guy, a random slave he just bought, one of his right-hand men, right then and there. And he used the shit out of him. Remember all these lesser clans out here we're talking about? So what Oda would do is he would it's probably a little romanticized, but it's just how Japan is. He now had a secret weapon, a black guy. No one knew what this guy was. So he can go to say, oh, let's go over here to the Hoshikawa right there. There's just this random clan we haven't mentioned. He can go up there with his army, and they can face off. He's like, he takes a squirrel megaphone out. Held up there, Mr. Hoshos. Take a look right here what I've got here. He's got a 6.5 foot tall fucking samurai with jet black skin. See this man right here? This is no man. This is a demon I found out in the mountains. A man, he taps him. Skin as hard as stone. I call him the Iron Samurai. Yo, go ahead, touch him. See this? Good shit. And also, he has the strength of 10 men. You fuck with him, you're dead. I think you guys should just throw down your weapons right then and now. And they're like, yeah, okay. And so they would just give up. He would use him as a tool. Because remember, they didn't know what a black guy was. They never saw this guy.
Yeah, I get it. And it is kind of fucking sick to be called the Iron Samurai.
Fun fact. This guy is where Afro Samurai comes from.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, there was, in fact, actually just straight up a black samurai. This is also where, if you ever played Neo, there's an enemy you fight, like a secret boss, just called the Iron Samurai. It's Yosuke. He comes up, does like a samurai pose, and he has a bear spirit, and you fight him. And if you beat him, you get the bear spirit.
Have you seen the new Guilty Gear character, the black vampire samurai, yep, who looks fucking cool as shit?
Yeah. Nagaruki, I think is how you say his name.
He looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's also based on this too. This is all where it comes from. In fact, there's also Yasuke is a character in not Samurai Showdown, but a Samurai Showdown spinoff game. We can just play as this black samurai guy with like an afro. This is where it comes from. It comes from this guy. It's actually a thing. This is also where the Steel Samurai in Phoenix Wright comes from.
Really?
Yeah, Iron Samurai, Steel Samurai. He's a parody of it.
Oh shit! Yeah, you're right. Huh. How about that?
Yep.
I literally never made that connection.
Yeah. So he's a fun character. I want to talk his little story because he's a fish out of water. So
yeah, he was the original isekai.
Yeah. Just so he gets whacked in the back of the head. Oh, you're finally awake, my retainer. Here, have some opium. So
caught you trying to cross the border.
So back to the plot. So. Now that Japan is basically, you know, easy pickings, Nobunaga and Ieyasu decide, we finally did it. They look over the fire burning in the countryside. We've taken over Japan. Easy peasy. Let's take a little vacation. Like, yeah. They kick back. They're all having a nice time. But then Hideyoshi comes in. He's got a problem. You see, there's another one of those lesser clans kind of starting some shit over at one of Hideyoshi's castles, and he does need some help right now. Oda's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to cut the vacation short. I'm going to head over there. And Yosuke's like, want me to come? He's like, no, bro, I got this. This is a lesser clan. This is easy. So Oda can't just go there right now. He's got to go back to Kyoto real quick and just talk with some of his goons. So he gets a new guy to come in. Gets a guy named Akechi Mitsuhide. Now, weebs know who this guy is. There's a reason...
I don't know who he
is. There's a reason the name Akechi is used the way that it is in a lot of media in Japan. We'll get right to that.
Is it used in the same way that Benedict is?
You'll see in a second. Wink. So, Oda takes a quick rest stop at Honnonji Temple. Just a nice temple. Not a warrior monk temple. Just a regular-ass temple. Just kind of kick back with a couple of his retainers. And just take a quick nap before he goes... Like a quick like night off before he goes to go help out in the war. Because, you know... Well, you have to walk everywhere. There ain't no trains or shit. So, you know, it takes a while to get to go reinforce something. Mitsuhide is the one walking down to go reinforce, you know, Mr. Ieyasu, or Mr. fucking Hideyoshi. He's walking down. He stops everybody right in front of Honnonji. He stops his army. Says, the enemy is in Honnonji. Quick, everyman, attack! And they're like, what? Attack Honnonji Temple! Burn it to the ground! And they're like, okay. And so they attack... I don't think they knew it at the time. They just start attacking Oda Nobunaga's retainers right then and there and set the whole fucking thing on fire. And they just start killing everybody. Oda Nobunaga is like, fuck! Damn it! I got betrayed! Betrayed by this Mitsuhide motherfucker! What an asshole! And so he finally does what samurais do when they're surrounded. He decides to commit Sudoku before he takes a couple of his retainers, including Yasuke, and to take his son out of there and take him to safety. And then he goes and just kills himself. Right then and there. But Yosuke and his goons are attacked and captured and brought right forward to Mitsuhide. Now, this is probably not true. We don't actually know. In fact, it even says this is probably not true. We're not entirely sure. But Mitsuhide just starts killing all the retainers, kills Oda's son, but out of nowhere, goes to Yosuke and says, "This man is nothing but a dog, nothing but an animal, and must be returned to his masters. Bring him back to those stupid Italians in the harbor. Get him out of my sight." And so Yosuke gets to survive. Allegedly. Huh. So that's, we think that's what happened. We're not sure if that letter was real, because it suspiciously doesn't sound like anything else Mitsuhide wrote. So Yosuke either went back to the Italians and went back to a slave, or he died a samurai in a battle. Whichever ending you like better is what happened. But basically,
I could feel that letter. I could see that letter being fabricated for like racist reasons. We're like, oh no, all samurai have to be Japanese and have to be heroic. We can't have a foreigner, let alone someone with weird skin. Like, I could see that.
Fun fact, he wasn't the first foreign samurai. Now, you ever played Neo?
Yes, Alex, I know about the fucking Scottish dude or whatever.
Yeah, Sir William is actually just straight up based on a guy who went to Japan to be a samurai. The actual first weeaboo.
Sir William is just straight up based.
Yeah, so Oda's dead. Mitsuhide is now taking over, in air quotes, the Oda clan. And he goes over to help Hideyoshi, but tells Hideyoshi that he wants to rule everything and he should listen to him now. And Hideyoshi's like, fuck you. And now what originally was going to be one swift victory is going to be a little harder than we thought. But the Jedai isn't over yet, and we're already at an hour and 35 minutes, so I want to cut it right here on this little bit of a cliffhanger. And I want to get back into the rest of what happens to Mitsuhide, especially what happens with Hideyoshi, because it's really cool. But I want to kind of stop right here, because we've been going on for so long.
And this is the end of Oda's part of the story.
This is where Oda is dead, his retainers are dead, his son is dead, the Oda clan is done. They're donezo. They're now in the spot right now, the scene, right? The ending, like, preview. Oda's out, Mitsuhide's in. The clan doesn't like Mitsuhide, Ieyasu doesn't like Mitsuhide, and Hideyoshi sure as shit doesn't like Mitsuhide. So now we're going to turn this into what used to be a 100-player civil war is now going to shorten down into a 2.5-person civil war, because Hideyoshi and Tokugawa are going to team up, spoilers.
So the circle has enclosed on tilted towers.
Yeah, the Jedai is almost over, but for the next episode, I'm going to kind of back it up a little bit. I want to talk about Ieyasu and Hanzo, and then kind of finish up with what the Jedai does, because they're really fun characters, and they kind of deserve their own, like, stories, you know?
Yeah, so that sounds like a good plan.
So yeah, so there you guys go. I'm glad you guys actually voted for this one. I was kind of expecting not this one to win, but I should have expected
it. It was surprisingly close. It was this one. And then this one actually tied with American Medical History, because I think many people are interested in what the fuck happened. And then Mexican History did get last, but that's still probably going to happen because I don't know shit about Mexico. And I know that at one point I was going to do an episode on Lucha Libre and the history of that. So I don't know. Well, we got ideas. It's just a matter of if I have fucking power. And if I don't get a surprise double exam Friday, that was really cool that I had to do that. I just had to study for like 4 days straight because he just surprise pulled out two tests out of his ass. And that's fine. It's fine. Listen, it's fine. It's cool. It's fine. I'm not bitter about it. You know how I am so not bitter that I'm actually going to tell you where else you can find the podcast. You can find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Only Google Play for a little bit longer. I got an email saying they're replacing it with YouTube Music.
Oh, so nice.
I guess, I don't know, people probably just didn't use it. It is kind of weird for Google to have two music services, I guess. There's a Twitter, there's a Discord, there's a Patreon in the description where we'll probably put up more weird ideas that we come up with and poll people on episodes.
We do want to actually kind of get more engaged with you guys, you know? The Patreon just kind of sits there, you know? I do still want to go back to Russia history at some point, though, because I do still have many more stories to tell you about that, because it's still a clusterfuck. But I was joining on for so long that I kind of want to just, you know, interact with you guys a little bit more. You know, get your choices weighed in on this.
Yeah, and then make sure also to check out Joe's podcast, The Man With No Brain. It's very fun. And then Malevolent Movies as well. All that wackadoo shit. And if you haven't seen it in a long time, and I literally just shilled this yesterday with the Best Boys I did with Joe, but Benevolent Buckley still holds up. It's still actually a very funny YouTube series. Alex never watched it.
Fun fact, I have never listened to a single episode of one of our podcasts. I have absolutely no idea who these other figures are in the podcast, like, lore. I'm not even kidding you guys. I have no idea who these people are.
All right. We'll see you guys next time as we wrap up this fucking... I don't know. I'll think of a funnier exit.
Good night, everybody.